Chag Sameach, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the shiur. Very exciting shiur from my own sukkah on Zoom. So Chag Sameach, great to see everyone's face, at least digitally. And it's a tremendous chus. There is a mitzvah to visit one's Rebbe on the Chag. There happens to be a technical question if that still applies nowadays, but it's certainly at least a good thing to do, so to speak, to visit one's Rebbe on the Chag. And I remember years ago visiting my Rebbe from high school, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, Shlita, who I just quoted actually between Mincha and Marv earlier this evening. And Rabbi Kamenetsky explained to me and the two other boys who were in his sukkah, he said, do you know why it's a mitzvah to visit your Rebbe on a Chag? Because the Rebbe only enjoys teaching Torah. Or not only, he loves teaching Torah the most. It's one of his favorite things to do. And when the yeshiva is off during Chol HaMoed, the Rebbe is sad. So when the Talmidim come to visit the Rebbe, they're really misameach the Rebbe, because the Rebbe gets to teach Torah. Right? Normally, you would think that the Talmidim are the ones who benefit from getting to hear Torah from the Rebbe. But my Rebbe explained, no, it's the Rebbe who also, at least, gets to benefit from teaching Torah to the Talmidim. So in a similar vein, what a schus it is to share Torah with you this evening from my own personal sukkah, and it's really a tremendous community, and particularly the Wednesday night shiur is always a highlight of the week for me. And we find ourselves in a unique sukkah this year. I know that I've very much enjoyed going to be the classic modern Orthodox guy in the Hasidish Simchas Beis HaShoeivas. You know, they look at me and I'm like that Nebuch rookie who has no idea what he's doing. And they bring me to the middle, you know, to try to show me the good stuff, you know. And they're very welcoming at the Simchas Beis HaShoeivas. But has anyone here ever had a positive experience in Brooklyn or in Mea Shearim at one of these like major Simchas Beis HaShoeivas? Anyone into that stuff here? Wow, very, very, very straight shooters crowd. All right, we'll justify that. But so I myself don't really do it anymore. I usually try to go to bed on time, and it's not necessarily like my style. That being said, when I was not married and didn't have to wake up or get woken up by my children, Baruch Hashem, at an early hour, I did experience the Simchas Beis HaShoeivas of Brooklyn and in Mea Shearim, etc. And there is clearly a Kedusha there. It at minimum is a minute Klal Yisrael to dance hours on end into the night to remember what was in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, this evening, I would like to address the sugya of Simchas Beis HaShoeiva so we can have a little bit of a better appreciation, starting with the minhag nowadays and moving back to what they are trying to tap into, that which took place in the Beis HaMikdash, because it is a very, very beautiful minhag, a very unique minhag, and it certainly requires understanding, because at first glance, it's just a regular party, and there's got to obviously be more to it. So believe it or not, there are very clear halachic sources that advocate having a Simchas Beis HaShoeiva even nowadays. One of the most classical halachic sources on Hilchas Sukkah is the Bikurei Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger quoted in the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, about the Chafetz Chaim very, very frequently in Hilchas Sukkah, Hilchas Lulav, etc. And the Bikurei Yaakov writes as follows: Milel Yom Tov Sheni Ve'Elach. So on the second night of Sukkot, right, what would be the first night of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, Haya Simcha Beis HaShoeiva Beis HaMikdash, right? Shayu Marbim Beshiras V'Sishbacha. So we'll get to those sources in a little bit, but we know there was a tremendous party in the Beis HaMikdash, starting with Chol HaMoed. Now here's where it gets halachic right away, jumping to nowadays. V'kasev b'minhagim. So it's brought down in the Sefer HaMinhagim. She'anshe ma'aseh, that people who are, say, particularly pious, yinadadu ma'at me'shena. They lose a little of sleep, right? Remember what did I say earlier, that I don't necessarily appreciate going to a Simchas Beis HaShoeiva anymore because I like to get to bed on time. But the Bikurei Yaakov is saying, no, that there are people who specifically stay up late into the evening, they'll lose sleep over this. They'll praise Hashem. Wow, so not exactly what goes on nowadays, but they would whip out the Yomim Noraim Piyutim, such as Atahu Melech Elyon, which is a fascinating concept, that they would recite the Yomim Noraim Piyutim in the middle of the evening, late into the night, on Chol HaMoed. Oh, alternatives. Like the Shiva Yuchud, you say, where the people say Piyutim and Leil Simchastora? It, Right, but what you're saying there's a special minhag to stay up late doing that, or like you say our shul, every shul. So Adam's pointing out that the piyutim that are part of the hakafos on Simchas Torah are really just an expression of this. Very good. I like that. I didn't put two and two together until this point. That's very good. So Adam's pointing at Dr. Karp, a highly religious man, according to Fox News, is pointing out that, very good, that really like Simchas Torah is almost basically a continuation of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's a nice idea. I didn't think about that. Very nice. Or Yomer, alternatively, Yomer Mizmori Tehillim Sheikru Shevach V'Tehillah. This is Tehillah. So ideally, we're praising Hashem late into the night. Kama Mizmori Kabbalah Shabbos U'Kodomeh L'Zecher Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So this is all to tap into, to remember the good old days of the Beis HaMikdash of what used to go down. Now that is a previous source that he's quoting. Then the Bikurei Yaakov himself concludes, V'nira li, Vav Nun Lamed, V'nira li, Shebi Yoser, really, it's more appropriate here as a key Litvisha Misnagdisha line. Yin Hagu Kain Anashim She'enan B'nei Torah. Who should do this? People who are not B'nei Torah. Meaning he's not recommending that you do this. This minog of staying up and praising Hashem. That's exactly right, Abi. Leman lo yishu b'divrei sicha b'teila b'leilus hakatoshim ha'ela. Wow, what a intense, harif line. He's saying, listen, if you're going to learn Torah, great. But if you're going to end up doing something pointless with your time on these holy nights, better to recite Tehillim, Piyutim of the Yomim Noraim, because these days are too holy to miss. And therefore, you don't want to miss out on the Kedusha. Tap into the Kedusha by reciting Shevach, praise to Hashem. Wow. Now, if you quote that in the Hasidic circles, they are going to strongly, strongly disagree. And Rabbi Elazar Melamed Shlita, right, the author of the Penine Halacha, I think, the Penine Halacha, right, he's tremendously successful at being Marbitz Torah because he publishes all of his things for free online. And his Svarim are also sold in Svarim stores. But the Rabbi Elazar Melamed, I don't really know so much about him, but he seems to have a Masorah from Rav Kook, and his halacha is very much widespread already at this point. So he comes from he's clearly Dati Lumi in that world. I don't know too much about him individually, as much as it's very clear that he's in the Dati Lumi, maybe Haredi Lumi. I don't know. Again, I don't know enough about him to talk about him. Yeah, Chardal. One time when I was dating, one of my more right-wing friends wanted to set me up with a girl, and I said, what's her shkafa? And he asked the girl, and she said she was chardal. And my more right-wing friend had no idea what that meant. And I'm like, oh, chardal, geschmack. I was like, oh, sign me up. And I married her, and I did not marry her, nor did I go out with her. That was not my wife, nor did I end up dating her. All right, thank you, Abby. I'm a lucky guy, Baruch Hashem, happily married for, 8 years, nothing crazy, but I hope. I think that Chardal individual did get married, and I don't think she has Chardal anymore as well. But we can talk about that maybe another time. Moving on. So what's the idea? That the Hasidim, so Rav Elazar Melamed would argue that he quoted letters. I didn't quote them in the sources here, but he had like historical accountings of people who specifically when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they would make it what we know nowadays as the Hasidish Minhag, to really sing and dance and light torches and really kind of mimic what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. But it's interesting to note that the Bikurei Yaakov, a classical halachic source, is not advocating for this, but he brings it down as a minog. But that was his own chiddush, right? I mean, he brought it down as a minog and then himself added, like, if you're going to be learning Torah, better to learn Torah. And I will say that I myself have seen with my own eyes a tremendous Gdolei Torah take Simchas Beis HaShoeva now this very seriously. One story my friend witnessed with his own eyes, the great Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who suffered from Parkinson's, so he was not in control of his own body movements, and he was able to dance at a Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the mirror. And my friend remembers watching Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel running back and forth, and all the mirror bachim running back and forth, dancing with Rav Nosson Tzvi, and they said it was maybe the most inspirational sight possible. Now, I myself saw Rav Avram Shor in his sukkah in Brooklyn. It's very common to go there nowadays. Rav Avram Shor at the end in the sukkah said, let's go outside to be Mikayim Rikud. And he felt that it was important to dance to fulfill the minug of dancing. meaning it was not enough to sing and say Divrei Torah and praise Hashem in the sukkah. He wanted to take it to the next level and actually dance outside. And Kachava, we went outside to dance. So he, Rav Avram Shor, the son of Rav Gedalia Shor, a tremendous Talmid Chacham and well-respected by Machshava, I'm sure, Posek in his own neighborhood. We're talking about a tremendous individual. And he also takes it very seriously in his community in Brooklyn. So that being said, what in the world are we tapping into? So clearly we're trying to mimic something that took place in the past. So going forward, we're going to try to see the classical sources in Chazal and the Rishonim, and we'll have the Rav's analysis and end with Rav Kook's Machshava, Bezras Hashem. So the Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah, Daf and Aleph, Amud Aleph, says, Mi shelo ra'a simcha spesa shoeva, lo ra'a simcha miyama. Right? If you never saw the happy occasion in the base of Migdash, none of the simcha spesa shoeva, you were missing out, right? You thought that bingo night was exciting. No, no, no. You hadn't seen nothing yet if you didn't see the Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva. V'lo hayachatzer b'Yerushalayim she'ena me'ira me'or Beis HaShoeva. And there was not an alleyway in all of Yerushalayim, which would remain the old city of Yerushalayim, that was not illuminated even at the nighttime because of the Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva. So no matter where you lived in the old city, even though it was 3 in the morning, every crack, nook and cranny in the old city was illuminated because of all of the light coming from the base of Migdash. And that's in a physical sense, right? There were many torches lit. And Chasidim Anshei Maisa Hayu Meraktin Bifneim. The Mishnah says specifically that the leaders of the Jewish people, the spiritual leaders, they were the ones who were dancing in front of the large crowds. So that was a little bit of a snippet of some often quoted source on the Mishnah over there. And similarly, another kind of famous Gemara is on Nugimel Amar Aleph, where the Breiser says, Tanya, the Breiser says, Amru Alav al Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What would he do when he would dance at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Hayanotel Shimona Avukos Shel Or. He would take 8 torches lit with fire. Vizorek Achas. He would throw one up. Vinotel Achas. And then take one. Vein Nogas Zu Bazu. And they would not touch one another. Namely, what would he do with the torches? Right? He'd be throwing one up without it touching the other one. That's called juggling. So yeah, he would juggle the fire. So Rav Shimon Gamliel would juggle the 8 torches. Ukshu mishtachav, and this is a fascinating idea. He would bow down in the base of Migdash. No 8 shnei godlov ba'aretz. He would stick his 2 thumbs into the ground. Vishochen, he would bow down, meaning seemingly he was supporting his entire body weight on his thumbs. Vinosheik esaritzpah, and then he would kiss the floor of the base of Migdash while he was in that interesting posture. Vizokiv, then he would stand up straight. Ve'ein kol birya yechola la'asos kein, and no one else could do that. Vizuhi keda, maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but this is the key that this was a certain avoda of the Kohen Gadol during Yom Kippur, if I'm not mistaken, that Reb Shimon Gamliel would mimic during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we see, again, I only gave you a few lines here and there from Maseches Sukkah, Perek HaChaliel, where they describe the amazing scene of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where the greatest rabbis were dancing and there was so much illumination and the nigunim, the music, the scene was seemingly just, you couldn't comprehend it, you can't really compare it, it was unprecedented. And the Rambam, even though it's a halachic sefer, brings it down. So what we're going to have to see here is analyze, well, what is the source of the Simcha? So if I were to ask you, why is there such a simcha at the Simcha Space of Shiva? What would you say logically? What would you say? Who has a svar? What do you think the reason for celebration is? Torah about pest to it. Yeah, why do you say that? That's an interesting answer. Very good. I mean, we only know about, right. Very good. Come on, Titus, right? Very good. So both Stewart and Dr. Karp are saying that it celebrates the Torah Shabbat Pen specifically to combat that view of the Tzedukim. Rabbi Weinshop Shlita, yeah, what do you have? Uh-huh. So they're confident that Hashem's judgment on their water supply for the year is a good judgment, and they're celebrating water, which obviously we cannot survive without water. So the reason for such celebration is the guaranteed water. I like that. I like that a lot. Good. All good answers. So we'll see Rashi and the Rambam will disagree based on Rav Soloveitchik's analysis. This is brought down very nicely in the Harei Kedem. I would imagine other sources of the Rav's Torah as well. But we will be quoting from the Harei Kedem tonight. I always enjoy learning the Harei Kedem on Sukkot in particular. It's some very, very, very nice pieces there in general. It's a tremendous sefer. And specifically on Sukkot, I find myself really all chagim. I happen to just very much appreciate the Torah found in the Harei Kedem. He's great, Rav Shurkin, quoting from the Rav. Okay, so the Rambam writes as follows. Afal pi shekol ha-mo'andos mitzvah lismoch b'hen, even though it's always a mitzvah to rejoice on the holidays, b'chag ha-sukkos ha'isa b'migdash yom simcha yaseira, shenamar usmachtem b'fin Hashem elokeichem shivas yamin. So the Torah in Parshas Emor specifies the concept of rejoicing of simcha in the context of the holiday of Sukkot. So what do we see? That there is an added element of simcha connected to simcha, connected to the holiday of Sukkot. And he explains, then he goes on and he gives the details of what we referenced before. Kesari Osen, they'd say, well, Erev Yom Tov Rishon, before Sukkot began, they would prepare the base of Migdash, etc. And every day, he says, V'chein b'chol yom v'yom yom v'chol amoed. What do they do? After they bring the afternoon Korban Tamid, what we daven Mincha nowadays, basically after Mincha, what would they do? At least smach l'shar hayom im kol halayla. They would party the rest of the day and for the remainder of the night. And he explains, again, and this is the Rambam's Halacha Sefer. He says, well, the Chalil, Makel, Menagein, Bekinor, Venevalim, all the different instruments, the wind instruments, the cymbals, and everyone would play whatever instrument they know, whether they would, and we sure they, if you didn't know how to play a music instrument, you would at least sing, Veroktim, and you would dance, everyone was just partying. The Simchazu en Adocha lo Esa Shabbos, velo Esa Yom Tov, should be noted, this does not override the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then it's a Mitzvahs laharbos b'simchazu. It's a mitzvah to go all out in this simcha. And he's bringing down the concept of simchas beis ha-shoeva halacha l'maisa. And the question then becomes, well, why? So the Rav understood the Rambam as very simple, that it's an extension of the more broad concept of usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. Namely, this is what we call simchas yom tov. So argues Rav Soloveitchik in the opinion of the Rambam. I don't know if there's another way to read the Rambam, but we generally have a mitzvah to be happy. So whether it means to buy your wife a new dress and get your kids candy, or to eat meat and drink wine, another example of Simchas Yom Tov would be to dance and praise Hashem in the same vein as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and it's a mitzvah to party harder on Sukkot specifically because the Torah mentions Simcha in the context of Sukkot in Parshas Emor. Wow. So all through and through, according to the Rambam, this is another example of the mitzvah known as Simchas Yom Tov. Now, what's glaringly absent from the Rambam's formulation there? What's like supposed to be? What was that, Stuart? Meizach Sameach is good also. Yeah, good. What else? You're right. You should have quoted that pasuk. Very good. Meaning, you're right. He could have quoted the pasuk. Meizach Sameach. It could be the Rambam understands that pasuk more related to Korbanos. Yeah, that's an exceptional idea. Yeah, not in that one, right? Seemingly right. So again, earlier, right? So not so far off, but this is in Hilchas Yom Tov, so it's not so far off. I'm sorry, this is in Hilchas Shofar, so you're right. It is far off. Right. So he's not talking about that. Right. This is not in Hilchas Yom Tov where the Rambam speaks about the general mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. That's a good point as well. Are you speaking about? Shofar Lulav Sukkah. Yeah, sorry, baby. He says, Afal Pisha Kolam Moad, this mitzvah lismoch, but he includes it, meaning it's a general mitzvah of Simchas Yom. And then he says, and by the way, B'chag HaSukkos, pump it up. So it's like you crank up the volume, but you're cranking up the volume from the already existing mitzvah known as Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, so I'm a little brainwashed because I always read this piece in the Rav Soloveitchik every year. So to me, this is already like, an annual limud. And the Rav points out that the Rambam says nothing about Nisach HaMayim, right? There's no, we generally associate Nisach HaMayim with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. In fact, Stewart and Dr. Karp right away said it celebrates something to do with the Nisach HaMayim. And the Gemara itself, the Gemara Sukkah Nun Amud Beis, very close to the Gemara we said previously, which would describe This is Mesbe Shueva. I'm Rav Yosef. Aval Shir Shel Shueva. Divrei Hakol Simchahi. Ve'en Dochas HaShabbos. So this party can't be Dochas Shabbos. And what does Rashi explain on the spot over there? Ve'en Min HaTorah. El Lechavev Es HaMitzvah. Ve'lodache Shabbos. Meaning the idea is that this whole party is to celebrate a mitzvah, i.e. what mitzvah? What mitzvah is Rashi talking about? So Rashi Anun Aman Aleph, that was Anun Aman Beis, Rashi Anun Aman Aleph, it's called Simcha Zu, Eina Ela Bishvil Nisuch HaMayim. Can the Farsh, is a Pasuk in the Torah, Ushaft at Mayim, Bisason, where's that, Yecheskel, is a Pasuk in Yecheskel, or the Pasuk in, before I forgot already, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, who's my Tanakh guy, that the Pasuk says black and white, Ushaft at Mayim, yeah, so Ushavta Mayim Bisason, that where do you draw, when you draw the water, you do it Bisason, you do it Bisimcha, right, with a certain added element of Simcha. So argues Rav Soloveitchik, according to Rashi, the Simcha of the Beis Shoeva has nothing to do with the general mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv. Rather, what does it have to do with? It has to do with the mitzvah known as Nisuch HaMayim. And the Torah says, "Ushafta mayim bisason." So nisuch hamayim, when they would draw the water out of the mayim of that spring, and they'd pour it on the mizbech, that itself warrants simcha. Wow! So all of a sudden, Rashi gives us a little bit of a reminder that the simchas beis shoeva is connected to nisuch hamayim. And by the way, what's a proof for Rashi? What's it called? The simchas beis ha shoeva. What does shoeva mean? The shoeva is to draw, meaning to draw water. So we're going to have to figure out, how does the Rambam get around that term? If the Rambam would really hold that the mitzvah has nothing to do with the Nisuch HaMayim, why would it be called the Simcha of the house of the drawing, seemingly the drawing of the water? Right? If according to the Rambam, there's no connection to that mitzvah, the name is a little bit random. And you can justify that the Rambam would say the name is based on something else. There is a Gemara Yushalmi quoted here in Tosfos, that says, Mefarshim, what are you drawing? Not water, but rather Shemisham Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. So when you'd go to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you would draw Ruach HaKodesh from there. Shashchina Shore Besoch Simcha. We know that whenever you're happy, the Shechina can only rest where you're happy. And there's a story there in the Yerushalmi of Yonah ben Amittai, right? The famous Yonah from the Yom Kippur HaTorah. Shehaya me'olei regalim, Yonah ben Amittai, the prophet, the famous Yonah in the whale, would travel personally to the Beis HaMikdash, uvesimchas Beis HaShoeva sharsa alav shechina. So he had some form of divine moment, a prophecy, something along those lines, at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So again, you can use this Tosfos to justify the term Beis HaShoeva for the Rambam, right? Meaning the Rambam could argue that the term Shoev is not a reference to drawing forth water, but rather to draw out what? Ruach HaKodesh. And after all, we do know the Rambam is, you know, notorious, so to speak, for quoting Gemara Yerushalmi. So again, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to say in the Rambam, but Rav Soloveitchik has a different understanding in the Rambam. According to the Rav Soloveitchik, there are going to be two different levels of simcha. According to, again, Rav Soloveitchik has a deeper analysis that I did not give you the whole picture here of, but he's going to argue as follows. Yes, there's the Simchas Beis HaShoeva number one, that's Simchas Yomtiv. And there's the Simcha of the Nisuch HaMayim number two, and they're two different Simchas. They're not connected. So whereas Rashi combined the two Simchas, we rejoice in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva because of the Nisuch HaMayim. The Rambam would say, no. You're mixing two different parties. They don't go together. You can't dance the two chasanas. They're two different chasanas. Let's look at that insight. So the Rambam brilliantly points out as follows: Kol shiva yimei hachag minaschen es hamayim. So again, you'd bring the special water korban basically on Sukkos. V'davar ze halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, as Stuart alluded to in the beginning of this year, that it wasn't explicitly written anywhere in the Torah. So you'd bring the water on the mizbeach alongside the wine, right? They were independent. They were not together. And now, what is part of this procession of drawing the water? Slochis shel zahav. You had a gold bowl, Machzekes Shalosha Lugin, Hayimamale Osa Meneshiluach. They'd go to the famous spring over there by Yerushalayim, and they'd fill it up, and Higiulis Sha'ar Hamayim, they'd get on their way back to Yerushalayim, they'd get to the gate of water, Taku Veheriu Vitaku, and they would sound the Chatzotzros. They would sound the shofar. Ding, 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 ding. That halacha of sounding, blasting the shofros is always associated with the mitzvah of the Levim singing Shira. Namely, it's an expression of Simcha. So argues Rav Soloveitchik, this is the Simcha of the Nisuch Hamayim. And again, that's where the Gemara says, Minan Emili, where do we get these chasosos from, right? Rashi says, to Tokun Emirin. Where in the blazes did we ever learn that you're supposed to blow the shofar, blow the chasosos when you draw the water, when you get to the Shar HaMayim? So Amar Rav Eino, well, that's the Pasuk. Ushaft HaMayim Bisason. Meaning what? When you do this whole procession of drawing the water, it should be with fanfare. You should get the band. You should blow the trumpets. It should be a big deal. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik argues. He says, "Bishnei dilim chalukim hema." Number one, simcha shel nisuch hamayim, and number two, v'simcha beis hashoeva. They're different simchas. The simchas nisuch hamayim nishnis bifnei atzmo beperek lulav ve'arava. That's a mishnah daf memches. It's in the previous parak of Shas. The simchas beis hashoeva beperek achaliel. So argues Rav Soloveitchik brilliantly. Look at the Mishnayos, the different Mishnayos. One Mishnah is in the one parak of Besecha Sukkah. It's describing the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. That's why the Rama puts it in a separate area of Halacha. Where was I just reading from you? I was just reading to you a Rambam in, what, parak Tmidim U'Musafim. Right? The Rama wasn't talking about the mitzvah of Lulav. That was Tmidim U'Musafim parak Yud. So argues Rav Soloveitchik, these two Simachos are different expressions of Simcha. You're happy by the Nisuch HaMayim. You blow the shofar, shkaich. But later in the evening, when you get to the simcha space hashoeva, that's the simcha of simchas yom tov. All fine and dandy until you get to one bam kasha. What did they do at the simcha space hashoeva? They played the flute. Who cares? What does that have to do with anything? So look at the Gemara. Wow, what's wrong with the flute? My wife plays the flute, by the way. I didn't know that until I found a flute in my apartment. And we just had the air conditioning installed. And after the air conditioning was installed, I saw a box with a flute in it. And I texted the air conditioning guy. I said, "Did you leave your flute here?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" And I never went to that part of my apartment until I had the air conditioning installed in Washington Heights. And that was the first time I ever saw my wife's flute. So what's the moral of that story? You should probably get to know your spouse a little bit better than I did during Shana Rishona. All right, moving forward, though. So what's the issue? What's the issue? With the flute. Why is the flute the culprit? Because the flute represents the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Right? What's the issue here? You can't... Look at what it is. Itmar. I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Eina. There's a machlokes, what was it called? Was it called Beis HaShoeva or Chashuva? And it says, well, it's called Simchas Beis HaShoeva because Ushafta Mayim Besason. Meaning, what's clearly associated with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? The Nisuch HaMayim. Additionally, they blew the flute at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is the same instrument they did when they, what, which is what they blew with, and the flute was associated with the Nisuch HaMayim. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not abundantly clear, but the bottom line is you can't ignore the presence of the Nisuch HaMayim at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Rav's analysis still acknowledges that the Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva, although was mostly related to Simchas Yom Tov, there still clearly was some, taste of celebrating the Nisuch HaMayim as well. Again, the name Simchas Beis HaShoeva and the flute, which was celebrating the Beis HaShoeva, was also present at the, the flute which celebrated the Nisuch HaMayim was also present at the Shoeva. So I don't think you can argue that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva had nothing to do with the Nisuch HaMayim, and the Rav even says that himself, but he says that's okay. But the main celebration was the Nisuch, was the Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, so that's a little bit of a machlokes between Rashi and Rambam, and Tosfos again was a little bit of a curveball there about Ruach HaKodesh. Now, just ending in Divrei Machshava, the beautiful writings of Rav Kook. I would highly recommend this website. It's called Rav Kook Torah.org. Rav Kook's writings are very esoteric, and they're a very difficult Hebrew to understand. So number one, if you understand the Hebrew, they're still very deep writings. And number two, it's just extremely difficult to understand the Hebrew. So RavKookTorah.org, I'm not sure which one of Rav Kook's main Talmidim put together that website, but they bring down Rav Kook's... Was this to it? It could be. Unfortunately, I don't know who it was, but okay, let's assume it was Basalna, or I'm not holding. But they do a pretty, I'm not so familiar with the website, but they definitely do a very, very good job at bringing Rav Kook's Torah down into a down-to-earth, understandable way in concise English. And there, Rav Kook points out the following. He says, isn't it ironic that we're celebrating the drawing of the water? Meaning the main mitzvah is not to draw the water, but rather it's to bring the water and pour it on the Mizbeach. And the whole celebration was celebrating the drawing of the water. So it's a little bit ironic. Imagine if you went to the Shuk to go buy your lulav and people were blowing shofar for you, as if you were doing something, you know, impressive. What do you mean? I'm just buying the lulav. I'm going to shake it on Sukkos. Or imagine building your sukkah and people start cheering you on and say, yeah, good job putting up those beams. What are you talking about? I'm not doing anything. All that. The main mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. So Rav Kook says there are means and there are ends. And in this world, unfortunately, there's too big of a gap between the means and the ends. And people live their life not feeling satisfied. Because they say, what am I accomplishing anyway? I'm just doing a means. What's the significance of means? I'm just drawing water. And Rav Kook says, no. The simcha of the Beis HaShoeva of Nisach HaMayim reminds you that if you're doing a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. And that is as if you've arrived at the means. In other words, if what you're doing is a mitzvah, there's no difference between that and arriving at the end, so to speak. Whereas, let's say you run a three-mile race. So we generally assume that you finish the race when you're finished with the third mile. But Rav Kook says, no. In Torah and mitzvos, when you run a three-mile race, but all three of the miles are a mitzvah, there's no difference between the first mile and the third mile. Because the first mile is a mitzvah, so you should feel just as satisfied with that. And he says, that's why when the Ribono Shel Olam created the world, the tree was supposed to taste like the fruit. Right? On a mystical level, the Midrashim say that the tree sinned, right? It was supposed to produce fruit and taste like the fruit. But the tree sinned, and the bark of the tree doesn't taste like the fruit. And Rav Kook says on a deeper level that from Hashem's viewpoint, a mitzvah is always a means unto itself. And I feel like in the general community, when people go to work, they don't feel satisfied. They say, what did I do with my day? I went to work. Okay, I davened. I made it maybe to Minyan. Okay, granted, I kept the mitzvos, I wore tzitzis, I put on tefillin, and they don't feel like they're living the highest level of accomplishment. And I always connect this Rav Kook to that Bala Bas, and I say, no, you don't get it. You're not just performing a means to an end. You're living on the deepest level possible. If you're doing every mitzvah that you're supposed to be doing, that's not a means to an end. That's an end unto itself. Mitzvos are not measured in percentage. A mitzvah is an accomplishment. So if you daven shachris, if you kept kosher, if you daven mincha in the middle of your day, that's a home run. And the Mesilas Yesharim concludes the sefer by saying the Baal HaBas who goes to work honestly and separates time to daven and learn to whatever degree possible is on the highest spiritual levels. And we should never forget the madrega of being just a practicing Jew. And perhaps that's why it's Nisach HaMayim. What's Mayim, the most basic element of life? And on Sukkot, we just celebrate the most pashut thing, to sit on a sukkah, a humble level of lifestyle. And what's better than having some challah, maybe a pastrami sandwich, you listen to some Torah, you listen to a shir, you drink some wine. You know, the simplicity of life, have some water, put it on the mizbech. And maybe all too often we glance over the beauty of simplicity, which is what maybe highlights Mayim. And all in all, I thought maybe you could argue that's why the very first halacha in Hilchos Sukkah and the very last halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippurim is just to build the sukkah. Now the post can point out that we don't make a bracha on building a sukkah because it's not a mitzvah unto itself. You have to live in the sukkah. And we don't even recite a Shachianu when you build the sukkah, even though the Arvi Shonim would say you should do so. And I thought maybe the reason why the halacha uniquely celebrates the beginning of a mitzvah, just build the mitzvah, even though it's just the beginning, It's because Sukkot is a time to celebrate small steps, humble beginnings. We're coming off Yom Kippur. It's time to just celebrate beginnings. Build the sukkah. Yeah, you'll finish the mitzvah later, but don't get too caught up. Okay, granted, during the rest of the year, you have to bring wine on the mizbech, but on Sukkot, we celebrate water. You bring the water on the mizbech. You bring your water. You do your mitzvos. You live your simple lifestyle, and every single process that you participate in is not a means into an end, but is an end into itself. And ideally, with that perspective, we should appreciate the quote-unquote building of the sukkah. That itself is a mitzvah. It's a tremendous accomplishment just to start a mitzvah. And on a deeper level, maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, highlight that mitzvah of just building the sukkah, even though it's not even the end of a mitzvah, because that's the whole essence of sukkahs, of celebrating means unto an end, because the means into an end is really an end unto itself, b'derech machshava. Yeah, at this point, I'm happy to stay for questions or comments.